escaping a land of smoke and mirrors, obfuscation, and confusion, and into a space of liberty-inducing veracity and reason. In this new land, divergence from the secularist status quo is the zenith of human existence. Welcome to Absolute Truth, Absolutely. Transmission begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hey folks, welcome back to the Absolute Truth, Absolutely podcast powered by LWIM, Living Word Youth Ministries in Miami, Florida. This is your host, Gio, youth pastor of LWIM, and joining me as usual
is Sarai.
That's my wife, and she is my co-host in this programming. Today we have a special guest, Hector Nunez. He is a member of our congregation, Living Word Church, and also the father of one of our youth congregants. We affably know him as Constitution Man, yes, because he's very knowledgeable in all things at U.S. history and whatnot. But the reason that we have invited you, Hector, over to tell us a little bit about your testimony, which I'm pretty sure will be a blessing to much of our listeners. Welcome to the program.
All right, thank you very much to you and Sarai for bringing me on this program. And the purpose of me, you know, pretty much to tell my testimony, I know it's going to be a blessing to many people, because I know that there's probably a lot of folks that are that went through similar situation that I went through. And the reason why I'm going to go back to my past is because, you know, there was a point in my life before, you know, God came to my life where, you know, I had a really bad depression. And, you know, you tend to hear the word depression, and I think that people use it very loosely today because they understand how it's like a profound sadness. And it's easy to explain, you know, psychologists, they explain, but when you experience it and you go through it, it's literally like you lock yourself in a prison. And the only person that had the key to unlock me from that prison was God.
Amen.
And Christ, you know, through his, you know, redemptive plan that he had for me. And I'm going to go back pretty much, you know, the way I grew up. I grew up like I grew up in New Jersey. And I grew up in a Polish town. So I stuck out, you know, my family stuck out like sore thumbs. And, you know, I was, you know, Central American. And if you really think about it, you know, I know that a lot of people go through problems, you know, racial problems. And, you know, you tend to be signaled out. And that added to the problems. So being that my parents, they came, you know, from the middle of nowhere in Honduras, you know, basically there was, you know, education was only up to sixth grade. So my parents, both of them, only had education up to sixth grade. My father was sent to the capital, but he never finished. He basically was just, my uncle moved to Brooklyn and he went along with him. So what happened was, is that when I was growing up, you know, my first language really was Spanish. Because my parents spoke Spanish, you know, I spoke to them in Spanish and my family members. But when I got to school, I never went to, you know, pre-K. Back in the day, you know, during those days, especially in New Jersey, nobody really went to pre-K. So I went to kindergarten. And right away, the teachers noticed that I was a little delayed in speech because, you know, I was still struggling trying to learn English and Spanish. And, you know, everything that you learn, you have to learn it twice. So if this is a broom, then you have to learn to say, this is a broom, este es una escoba. So so then you get a little mixed up. So they never really thought it was anything. But what was going on is that I went on, because the things that they found out that in kindergarten, that I was delayed in speech and also had problems with motor skills because I couldn't, you know, write clearly. So then what happened was is that they put me in a special program for that, just kindergarten. I was pulled away maybe once or twice a week. So what happened is that time progressed, you know, first, second, and third grade. I wasn't performing as my other classmates were. So that kind of brought me down. At the same time, you know, my father, you know, he owned two buildings. And a lot of times, you know, he came from the middle of nowhere. So he's used to doing things himself, hands-on. So yeah. I was his helper. So a lot of times when I was helping him, for example, like, you know, bring me a hammer, I'll bring him like a screwdriver. And he'd be like, yo te dije a ti, you know, I told you not to bring me a screwdriver. You're good for nothing. He'll go off. So at the same time, I was like wondering, you know, what's wrong with me? You know, I see other, you know, going back to school, I used to see other kids, you know, they would get A's, they would get B's, and I was like a C&D student. Pretty much, out of the five classes that I had three C's and two D's, so at least I passed.
Yes.
But I got left back twice. And next thing you know, I was older, and you know, the students, you know, the other classmates were younger than I was. So that added to you know, I was feeling, you know, like my esteem was pretty low. And my parents, you know, they weren't Christian. They were Catholic. But they were only Catholic when somebody died, when somebody got married, when you had to bring, you know, a child was born, they baptized them. That sort of Catholic. So my concept of God was like, this was a God that was far away somewhere in heaven that nobody knows. And that's the extent of that. And, you know, doing the rituals and things of that nature. But my parents never really took me to church. So I had no real concept. I really didn't understand. I had no learning of the Word of God. To me, the Bible was just a book that somebody, you know, put on Psalms and just read one verse, and that was it. So as I was growing up, you know, other kids used to make fun of me because at the same time I had social, you know, problems, you know, being interacting socially with other students. So, you know, that added. And then once I remember, I never forget this. It was this classmate of mine that she told me, is that, hey, do you really want to do something with your life? And I was like, I never thought about that. So you need to really take serious, your education, your school, you know, and that kind of made me think. So what had happened was that suddenly I started doing better in school. But the problem was that I started gaining a lot of weight. I started eating a lot. So I was growing up thinking that I wasn't like the rest. There's something wrong with me because, you know, I wasn't able to relate to other children. So as time progressed and then I got into high school, you know, I never really thought about it, but you just live life after, you know, day by day, day by day. But as I began to, you know, because I never really graduated high school. And I only got to maybe junior high. Mm-hmm. And in junior high, you know, I was an honor student for the first time. But my parents never really congratulated me. Say, hey, you know, congratulations, you're an honor student. You know, I finally made it. But it was easy to me because I was pretty good, and I got really good in science. I got really good in math. So that helped me. But the problem was that I got left back because, you know, since I was behind, I was already 18 as a junior. Mm. I was behind a few years. So when I got left back, being an honor student, I was given the option to go to night school. So I took that. But at the same time, I never really gave thought to getting higher education because I say, am I college material or not? So you go through that dilemma. You want my college material. Yeah. And then you see the other kids, you know, they're picking out their college and then they're moving on in life. And I'm like, what am I doing? Hmm. So it's not like I had dreams and aspirations, but I never have a defined plan. So time passes and you still, you know, I was taught to work. So at the age of 16, you know, I started working. I never stopped working since. What happened was that when I met my wife and we got married, you know, she came from a Christian background. And to me, I never, like, wow, a real Christian. I actually met a real Christian. Because I grew up in a Catholic, you know, I grew up in a Polish town, all a Catholic. Yeah. You would hear the church bells in Sunday morning. So then I had a girlfriend before that. She was a heavy Catholic, you know, with the beads and all this stuff. And I was like thinking, like, you know, is this really how to serve God? You know, just a ritual, you know, and that's it? That's all it is? No. So then I really got into a deep depression because thinking about it now that I met my wife as my girlfriend, you know, me and her, you know, we decided to get married and there was a child on the way. And I started really to sink in. I was like, what am I doing? You know, I have this child on the way and I'm not making enough to survive. And then I see people thrive. My sister, she got a degree. She started working as an administrator in a doctor's office. And, you know, my cousin got promoted. And I'm there sitting at the same desk, you know, just doing the same job and making minimum wage. Mm. And I'm thinking, this is a real dilemma. So that added. And then I got to the point where I got to hopelessness. You know, when you get to that point, you see there's no hope.
Yeah. And, yeah, utter melancholy. Yeah.
And then I was thinking, you know, then, you know, I was thinking, what am I going to do? But then you still have to do what you have to do. I'm still, and the thing was, when before Sebastian was born, I made a commitment to be committed to him, to be committed. But at the same time, am I going to be able to support a family? So I'm wondering, would it be better if I was dead? So I started to really consider suicide because I'm wondering, am I good for nothing? You know, all of my years I've been hearing from, if I'm good for nothing at school, you're not up to par. It's like you're never up to par at work. You're not like the rest. So I'm thinking, like, if I'm not like the rest, is there hope for me? Mm. And I started to really consider suicide. And at that point, I'm thinking, what would be better to do? And you get to that point because you feel like there's no hope. Mm. So then, being that my wife came from a Christian background, she wasn't Christian herself. She was just, you know, her parents were. So then they started taking me to church. And to me, it was like a shock because I'm here, you know, they're singing and they're praising. And this is all new to me. I'm like, wow. And they actually read the Bible. They actually sit there and they read scripture. And I'm able to understand because, you know, I never understood a sermon from a Catholic church. I just didn't understand. It seemed like they were still, you know, speaking in Latin.
Yeah.
So I started relating. And, even the Bible says that by faith, you know, by faith, by hearing, you know, you begin to build faith by hearing the word of God. Hearing that word of God. So I didn't really pay attention to it. But after a while, it started to sink in. And then I came to a point where we were like, I was like thinking to myself, I looked at the congregation and I looked at everybody, you know, praising and singing to God. I'm not only saying these people are just like me, you know, in the sense where, you know, they go through problems in life but they seem happy. And I was like, you know, they have this joy. Hmm. So now I want some of that joy. But I had a problem too, because since I didn't think I was good enough, I was like, am I good enough for God? You know, I didn't go up to God and said, yeah, you know, why you have so many rules and regulations? I pretty much said to God, you know, like, I can't be holy. That's like impossible for me, you know, in the way I grew up.
Yes.
Because I grew up with my father was one of those fathers where he basically was a macho man. He said, you have to drink. So I started drinking at the age of 11, I think 11, wow. 12. And he gave me his first shots and said, you have to be a man, you have to drink. At the same time, he's saying me to be a man is just like a man of the world, where you don't respect women like a person. You know, it's like, you know, have as many women as you can, have as many relationships as you can. Like it's like it's a free-for-all. That's the way I grew up. And at the same time, I was like thinking, well, in the way I grew up and the way I am, it's impossible for me. It's like an impossible bridge. But at the same time, I was like, you know what? I keep hearing that God's a merciful God and he's willing to forgive. And I gave it some thought. And I said to him, you know, before I commit suicide, I have to reach out to this God. But I wasn't sure because of so many religions and Christianity is introduced to me. And at the same time, I read a lot. It's just times what I read. And I read a little bit about all these different religions. And I said, you know, God, it's confusing to me. Well, what's the truth? I know you exist because I always believed that there was a God, and I always prayed to him. And being I never you know had a Christian background, but I prayed to God like with a prayer, not with repeating. You know, even my ex was trying to say, you know, recite this. Why should I recite something to God if, you know, like, what, you know, what is he, stupid or something? Like, why do I need to repeat to him, you know, just talk to him like me and you?
Yes.
That's the kind of concept that I had. And I didn't have really enough understanding, but I kind of figured if God is God, I should be able to talk to him.
Absolutely. I think that's the proper concept, and it's amazing that you were able to reach that even before you start your conversion experience. We've been speaking to Hector Nunez. He's the father of Sebastian, aka Constitution Man, as we affably know him in youth group and LWM. I'm sorry, Hector, continue.
So then what happened was is that I came in and you know there's a part in the Bible, in the Psalms, where it says that God will not reject a contrite heart.
Absolutely.
And I said to myself, you know, the only thing that I can do is you know, talk to God. So I didn't tell my wife. My wife didn't know that I was going through this depression. She had no idea what I was going through.
So you never informed her of what was going inside?
Never informed nobody. Mm. I was like suffering in silence.
So you kept it?
To myself.
Right.
And I came one day, and I never forget, she was sleeping, and I just broke down, you know, in prayer. And I said, God, you have to tell me what's the truth. And I named him all the religions that I can name in my mind. I says, you know, I know that you're for real because I, you know, your evidence is, you know, the evidence that you exist is right there. I can't deny that you don't exist, but I just need to know what's the truth. And without knowing anything, I pretty much said, you know, if you tell me what's the truth, I'll serve you no matter what, because I'm desperate. I need to know, why in the world did you bring me into this world to be who I am? I have to be good for something, not good for nothing. And I broke down and cried and just like pretty much poured out my heart to God. Mm. And I never thought about it. And days and weeks passed, and I was still suffering from depression. And, you know, and I, as a child, you know, I grew up drinking, thinking it was okay. And I used to be drunk every single weekend. And I had the first real job that I had was a clerical position, and it was a Danish company. I don't know if anybody doesn't know, like Northern Europeans, they love to drink. And I thought that Central Americans drank a lot, but these people took it to the extreme.
Yes. The Irish are very well known for their participation in pubs, right?
That's right. And they were so, I guess, what's the word? Like they drank so much, and it made such an important part of their life that they actually had a bar. I worked with them in the corporate headquarters. In the corporate headquarters, they had a bar on the fifth floor.
Amazing! Wow!
So me and my cousin, we were kind of in the same boat. You think that he was a little bit ahead, more ahead than me. He had more capabilities than me. So you know, he got promoted, and I didn't. So, but at the same time, you know, we used to go to the bar. Mm. And we used to go every single Friday, just get wasted. Mm. And, you know, he had a problem because he has scoliosis. And I don't know, he used that as an excuse, but so he always used to smoke marijuana, like all the time.
Wow.
And it got to a point where I got high and I got drunk and it just didn't matter no more. It's just like not even this can take away the depression that I had. And
so even through all of the toxics and everything else that the world, the secularists would tell you, if you have this, you'll forget, you'll drown out all of the sadness and sorrows. You were still experiencing that sorrow, even through all of the artificialities that you were taking into your body.
Exactly.
Amazing.
And, you know, not for nothing, but at the same time, you know, I thought I could never have, you know, even a girlfriend or a wife as beautiful as my wife is. And even though, you know, like she fell in love with me, and it was amazing because, you know, she came into a life mysteriously, and we didn't want to even meet each other because we didn't want to go out that day. But our friends prepared the whole, you know, get together.
Right.
And I had to be convinced to go, and she had to be convinced as well. we met and never came apart till date.
Wow. Amazing.
But, and the thing was, is that with her, it was different because I prayed to God for a wife, and she's the one that I prayed for before, you know, when I used to talk. And the thing is that it's funny how she came into my life all of a sudden, but it was just like at that moment in time where I think God prepared everything because my heart became ready, you know, to receive him. Because I was at a point where you know, where I'm going to go in my life. You know, you get to that point, where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? And when I remember one day where, you know, in the town that I lived in, Central Americans stuck together, and even other Hispanics stuck together. It was very few, very right. few Hispanics. And they started converting one by one, they started accepting Christ one by one. And there was like a group of truck drivers I used to hang out with a lot because my brother, my sister, her boyfriend was a truck driver. I used to hang out with them a lot. And one day I met one and he said, hey, you got to come to our reunion and this and that because now we're Christian. I was like, okay. But I didn't go. What I did is I took my in-laws and I brought them there. And then I went to go visit my parents because I had moved out and I moved out to a different city. And then it got late, and I'm like, wondering, we got to pick up your parents. I told my wife, you got to pick up your parents. And I didn't want to go. For some reason, I didn't want to go because I was still confused whether Christianity was the truth or not, what religion was the truth. So I didn't want to hear anything. But when I went to go pick them up, they still weren't done. The stories were still going on. They were still, you know, in the middle of preaching. So I didn't want to sit down. They were like, no, come and sit down, listen, and all this stuff. And I'm like, okay. So I sat down, but I wasn't listening to anything. Once the service was about to end, and they were going to end it with a last song or whatever, But the song extended, and in the middle of that last song, I began to feel what was like this immense love, you know, and I started to cry like I never cried before. I never experienced anything like it, because literally you can explain what the Holy Spirit is. You can, by word, you can explain. But to experience it in your life, it's another thing, because it's things that you need to know, but at the same time, it's nothing like experience it. And I didn't know what I was experiencing. I just felt this tremendous love, this deep love like I never felt before. And I just broke down and started crying. And I never felt a love like that. It just surpassed my parents' love, the love that I had from it. It was like this deep love that I never felt before. And I just started crying, and I knew it was the truth. I knew this was God reaching out to me. It was amazing, because it's like what I wanted. And I grew up thinking that nobody loved me, and thinking that I was like, you know, like I didn't deserve to live. I and then suddenly, for God to reach out to me, to listen to me, it was just like too much. It was overwhelming, and I just started crying. And then the preacher came to me, put a hand on my head, and said, "Do you want to accept Christ as you know, your Savior?" Mm. I didn't think about it. I just say, "This is it."
From one moment to the next. It's funny, because you recount that experience, and I've heard the same thing from so many Christians. My experience was similar to that. I didn't fall into the melancholy that you experienced. But the conversion experience itself, it's almost as if you don't know how you went to the front of the altar. It's almost as if someone took you by the hand without without forcing you to go up to the altar and accepting Christ. I mean, that I've heard that experience so many times, and it's something unique to the Christian experience.
And I didn't know where I was going, but I just knew that it was God reaching out to me, and I knew that Christ was my Savior. That just pretty much... It just convinced me. It was more than just, it was a profound, I would say, it just began this conviction that I knew that Christ was the truth, that Christ was the answer. And then I started reading the Bible. But the problem with me was, is when I first started reading the Bible, I was given the King James Version. And I wasn't, to see me right now, that I'm more articulate, I'm able to be able to communicate more in English, even then I struggled. And I really didn't begin to really spell well until after I started serving Christ, after, and started reading Spanish. So my intellect started to broaden.
Praise God.
And the thing was, is that I didn't know what was going on, but all I knew that Christ, you know, that God and Christ, they reached out, you know, that God reached out to me. And if he reached out to me, it was for a purpose. And then I started to just pray, you know, that all you can do is, you know, you're hungry and you want to read. So even though I didn't understand the word of God, I didn't understand the Bible, but I still read, and it just started to just come more clear to me. And one day going to visiting a church, there was this preacher that was from my country, from Honduras. I was like, wow, a preacher from Honduras, this is great. And I came and I talked to him for a little bit, and he told me as advice, he says, "You really want to learn about the Word of God, read it from Genesis to Revelation."
Revelation, yeah.
So I started reading it, and I would read two chapters or three chapters nonstop every single day. And I went from Genesis, I would say, all the way, I almost read the entire Old Testament. And then I jumped around because I wanted to read about the New Testament. So I started reading Matthew and the book of Matthew, the book of Mark and the Luke and John, the whole book of Acts I read. And I practically almost read the entire Bible. And the thing is that, and I went through it again and again. And what happened was, is that I started reading and understanding more and more. And then I got other versions, but I stuck to the King James Version because it just being, you know, it's funny though, because then I started hearing, you know, as I was listening to the radio and to TV, and I kept on hearing, you know, King James Version is the most, you know, I would say you can trust more the interpretation. And I, you know, kept on reading. I started reading Spanish and I learned Spanish, but my depression was still there. And I came one day and I said, you know, I had to go and pray and fast and get to be here, because I came from a Pentecostal. I went from I accepted God in Baptist, and then we went to a Pentecostal, and that was their whole theme, you know. not understanding about Christian doctrine and you know, and the different denominations, you know, as I started reading and progressing, I started reading more and understanding more. And it was just like God giving me all this information. At the same time, I was hungry for him more. And I knew that God had saved me for a reason. There was a purpose behind it. So I started praying to God. I said, okay, what's my purpose? What did you bring me on this earth for? That was the question. And I had a lot of questions for God because I really enjoy science. That's why, you know, on Sunday when who was it? Am I saying his name right? Stuart is his name, right?
Oh, Jay Seeger. Yes.
Jay Seeger. I'm sorry. Jay Seeger came and he gave us his whole presentation and you know, about, you know, the difference between, you know, evolution and creation. And his whole ministry really appealed to me because, you know, going through the school system where they teach you that there is no God. Absolutely. And that evolution, yeah, is like the only scenario for creation. I started, exactly, reading Genesis. I'm wondering, it can be evolution. And basically, when I felt that love, that transformed my life. And I didn't understand what was going on because, you know, it's a progression from the new birth to you meet the Lord. It, every day you're progressing. Every day you're learning. It's like you're being born again. It's like you're a child. You're learning how to walk. So you basically learn how to walk again in the new life. So what happened to me was I didn't understand what had happened, but I knew that God reached out to me. And that he had reached out to me for a purpose and wanted to, you know, transform my life. And since I accepted him, it's like I became committed, just like he was committed to, you know, to me. And because people think that, well, you know, God is not committed to me. God doesn't listen to me. God is this. They always blame me like if God wasn't there. But they don't realize that every day they wake up, the sun, you know, shining. Or sometimes, well, you know, you get clouds and rain. But even clouds and rains being precipitation and precipitation, you know, that moisture we need for the plants. We need it because you need to eat. And the animals need to drink water. You need to drink water. So you need that rain. That's the same thing, that they don't understand that God has always been there. That what happens if God was like man? Well, if you don't pay your electric bill, we're going to cut off your electricity. Well, if you don't pay my dues to me, then I'm going to cut off your oxygen supply. God doesn't do that.
Exactly.
He's always there. So as I was learning, I began to see that God was always there.
I hate to leave everyone in a state of suspense. Hector, if you don't mind sticking with us for one more episode, I'd truly appreciate it, because obviously we haven't reached the end of your testimony.
That's right.
And we will do so on the next edition because of time constraints, but we'd like to thank our listeners for joining us. Hector Nunez has been our guest. We'd like to inform anybody that is listening to the sound of our voices that they can download this podcast freely, and we ask you to share Hector's testimony with your friends. This is a life that showcases to us that even though you're in the midst of great melancholy, and even though the secularists will tell you just, you know, pump yourself with pills and drugs and everything else, no, Jesus is the answer for that melancholy, for that sorrow that you are experiencing. So this will be freely available on our website, lwym.org, lwym.org. If you have any questions or comments, please direct those emails to our inbox, info@lwym.org, info@lwym.org. And don't forget that we meet every single Wednesday night at 8 p.m. If you're in the vicinity, visit us, 3175 Southwest 25th Street in Miami, Florida, 3175 Southwest 25th Street in Miami, Florida. Until the next edition, once again, we will continue to interview Mr. Hector Nunez. We'll see you on the next edition of the Absolute Truth Absolutely podcast. Godspeed.
You've just experienced and become privy to information broadcast and powered by LWYM. Choose what to do with the material as you wish, but a fair warning is in order. Consider conserving it with your life if need be, as said information has been known to preserve the lives of its keepers. Join us every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. for more truth in a world full of uncertainty. 3175 Southwest 25th Street in Miami, Florida. If you have any questions or comments you'd like our hosts to address on our broadcast, write to us at info@lwym.org. Transmission end in 3, 2, 1.